You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 1. You know, I've been teaching a series on Sundays on salvation. Taught about salvation 101, just simple salvation, what it is. Taught about the new birth, how to be born again, you know, what that meant. And then we taught on things you need to know about salvation, about being saved, what you need to know. Four things I just listed I thought were good to know. And today I just continue along the same lines. And of course, Romans 1 talks about our great salvation. You know, first of all, I guess we ought to define the term. Most people in Christianity think of salvation in terms of going to heaven, and that's true, no question. It entails that. That is the greatest part of it, I guess, is that we are going to live forever in heaven. And to be saved is to be saved from hell, that we might go to heaven. To have salvation is to have this eternal life that we have, you know, that when someone dies, like Sister Murs, who passed away this morning, that it's not the end. She goes from there to heaven. She's very much alive. She's just in another place. That's because she was saved. But the word salvation is really bigger than that, because everything God does is always bigger than you think it is. And the word salvation is more than just being saved from hell, going to heaven. The word salvation really just means deliverance of any kind, salvation of any kind, and it has a lot to do with what goes on in your life here today. Thank God I have a Savior. Saves me from depression. Saves me from sickness. Saves me from pain. Are you with me? Now, those things come, and we're in a life where that happens. I understand that. We're in a fallen world. But thank God I have salvation. I have someone to call on. I'm not lost. I'm not the world. I can call on God in a time of need. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, the Bible says, and find grace to help us in the time of need. And He will. Yes. Hallelujah. I love that grace. That word grace, just favor, same word. Charis is the Greek word. Anytime you see the word grace, it means favor. Anytime you see the word favor, it means grace. You're saved by grace. You're saved by favor. God favored us. He just did a favor for us. You ever done a favor for anybody? You know, they didn't pay you for it. It was just a favor. You know, when someone has favor with someone, they get special privileges, as it were. So that's what happened to us. We didn't earn salvation. It's by grace. It's by favor. God just loved us. I don't know why He loves us, but He does. I mean, I look around at people and I think, I don't know why God loves people. I look at myself and I say the same thing. But He does. The Bible says He does, and that's just the way it is. Amen. And because of it, He's offered us all these wonderful, great, and precious promises, and you and I need to take advantage of them. Amen? Hallelujah. Romans 1:16 is just a classic verse. Many of you would know it if I quoted it. In fact, I think I quoted it Wednesday night. I was actually teaching on another subject Wednesday night. But it says, Paul speaking, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then the Greek. What he meant there is very simple. He was bold in what he believed about Jesus, and we should be too. We shouldn't be ashamed of what we believe. My goodness, the world is not ashamed of what they believe, are they? You know, it's amazing that you can say anything ungodly and filthy and anything unholy and irreverent, and it's protected by freedom of speech. But as soon as you mention Jesus, we shut you down. Are you with me? As soon as you talk about praying and you talk about the Bible, you know, they want to cut you off and shut you down. You can't push that on people. But, you know, we push filth on people under the guise of freedom of speech. We push an agenda. We push something ungodly and immoral, and we try to defend it with our Constitution. And yet the Constitution defends anybody, anything. It defends our right to believe. Are you with me? And we shouldn't be ashamed, and we shouldn't cow down. And we shouldn't play their game, as it were. We ought to be bold about what we believe. And I am a Christian, not ashamed of it. A couple of you aren't either. That's good. Glad to hear that. You know, I'm not trying to blast anybody with it, but I've got to be true to who I am. And are you with me? Hallelujah. So he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Everybody say gospel. Gospel, gospel is just a Greek word. It means... we get the word evangelist from it. Evangelion is the word gospel. Evangelist is someone who brings the gospel. You know, at a funeral, you'll say good things about people. You call it a eulogy. That's where the word comes from, eulogy. It's the same word that means good things. You say good things. You ought to think about that, because one day you're going to die and I'm going to die. You want to live in such a manner that the preacher doesn't have to get up and lie at your funeral. Just a thought. Just a thought. But anyway, you say good things. That's a you eulogize someone. Okay, evangelist. They just changed the U to a V, the V to a U, excuse me. And so the gospel, evangelion, is good news. That's what it means. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. Woo! Everybody say good news. Good news. You know, when you got good news, you smile when you say it. You can kind of tell when the doctor comes out and he's got bad news. He's not hippity-hoppity down the bunny trail. He's not bouncy. He's not, you know, his countenance is down. He's got bad news. And when he has good news, you can pretty well tell before he gets there. I mean, there's a smile on his face, and you know, you can tell by someone's countenance the way they look. And so we ought to be that way. We've got good news. We ought to smile. Are you with me? Be excited in some respect. And as a preacher, as a minister, I shouldn't come up here mad at you and hate you and blast you. And we need more hell, fire, brimstone preaching. You know, I hear that a lot. Well, there is a hell to shun, I agree, but there's a heaven to gain. Amen? And the good news far outweighs the bad. In fact, the news is the gate's open. What are you doing in a prison? Come on out of your sin. Come on out of that lost state you've been in. Come on out of that sin. Come on, you don't have to live that way. That's the good news. Not that God hates you and he's against you. Well, God doesn't hate you, he's for you. What's killing you is your sin, not God. Your problem is not him, you. We have found the enemy. He is us. Hallelujah. And so, you know, we ought to preach good news glad. Don't preach the good news mad. You know, Brother Osteen used to always say that. Joel Osteen's daddy, my former pastor, John Osteen, he used to say, preach the good news and preach the good news glad. You know, you ought to preach it with a smile. You shouldn't be mad. A lot of preachers are just mad. They get up and they're mad at this and mad at that and mad. And even if they get on a rant or a tirade, as it were, about something wrong with the world, and I mentioned, you know, some things that upset me even, you know, about freedom of speech and how it's misused and abused, we ought to pull it back around and get back to the good news. If there's one thing that people ought to know about your church, where you go, and about you as a Christian, is they ought to know what you're for, not just what you're against. And I think too many times, everybody knows what the church is against, but they don't know what they're for. Are you with me? I mean, the whole community knows what they're against. Anytime something goes wrong, the church shows up to pick it and to, are you with me, and to sound another voice. And I agree. I think there are times to stand up and say, this is the line. You've crossed it. This is wrong. We as the people of our community and Christians believe this is a wrong thing. We should do that. But we ought to stand up for what's right, and people ought to know what we believe and what we're for, not just what we're against. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody. So he says, I'm not ashamed of the good news. He wasn't ashamed to tell people they could go to heaven. He wasn't ashamed to tell people they could be forgiven of their sin. He wasn't ashamed to tell them that if they turned their life around, God would take them and they could have a whole new destiny and a whole new future. He wasn't ashamed to tell them the good news. The good news. Jesus paid the price. Hallelujah. The Messiah has come, the one we look for all these years. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Paul wasn't ashamed to tell people that Jesus had fulfilled the law and completed the requirements of it and met all the details of it. And if anybody came to Jesus, they could be saved, and they could be healed, and they could be set free and go to heaven. Hallelujah. Good news. But it was to those that believe. Amen? Not to everybody, just to those that believe. In other words, you can hear it and not believe it. It won't help you. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. See, the Bible is the power of God to save you. It's the power of God to heal you. It's the power of God to enlighten you, to give you hope and to give you courage and give you a future and faith. It comes from God's Word. If you don't have God's Word, you don't have this good news, you don't have the power of salvation. You don't have the power of deliverance in your life. You don't have the power to be set free, as it were. We try everything in the world, but see, the power of God to set people free is in the Bible. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. To everyone that believes, the Jew first and then the Greek. So the Jews don't have anything over on us other than the fact that they were told first and then us, the Gentiles, as it were. But it's all the same to God, Jew or Gentile. Everyone that believes receives, hallelujah. And the good news is that God's Word, if anybody reads God's Word, hears God's Word, believes God's Word, believes it, then God's Word will save you. The message will save you. The truth of it will set you free. That's what Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and truth will make you free. So you're only going to be free to the degree that you believe in the power of God, which is resident in His Word. Woo! Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. 17th verse says, for it is written. It is written. I like that. In it, the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. You and I are on a quest or a journey or a life of faith, whether we're going to trust God or not trust God. As you grow older, it doesn't change one bit. There are things that come up that steal and rob your attention and your focus and try to get you to believe in them instead of what God says. And you're still going to have to make a decision. Behold, you stand at the crossroads. That's something Billy Graham used to always say. Man at the crossroads. Man's always at the crossroads. Whether you're going to trust God or you're not going to trust God. Whatever you're worrying about, I can tell you right now, you didn't trust God about. Yeah. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Sold the T-shirt. Bought it back, put it back on. Sold it again. I mean, when I get in doubt and unbelief, I'm not trusting God. Are you with me? We should live by faith. And the power of God to deliver us is in His Word as we believe it. See the steps there that He just lays out before us so plainly. Deliverance, preservation, safety, salvation. That's what the Word means. Deliverance from the molestation of enemies. One dictionary says that. From what enemies can do to us, what the devil can do to us, as it were. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we've been delivered? Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 1. What we're talking about is God's Word is salvation to us. I know ultimately Jesus, if you never get to Jesus, it doesn't do you any good. It's not just an abstract theory. It's not a concept or an idea. If you just think right, think good thoughts, you know. Now, I don't believe you can just go to bed and pull the cover over your heads and wish all the bad people go away. I believe that we believe in the Word, which points us to Jesus, who loves us and is for us, a real person, a real entity, and that Jesus ultimately sets us free. I understand that. But without the message of the Bible, without the knowledge of God's Word, we don't really know who Jesus is to go to and to run to. Are you with me? So it would, in King Jimmy words, it would behoove us to get a hold of God's Word. Amen? It would be in our best interest to find out what God says. We go here, we go there, we read everything in the world. Why don't we just go to the Word and find out what God says? There are a lot of good books. I believe in good teaching. I believe in going to church and hearing preachers. I are one, you know. But they should all point us back to God. They should point us back to His Word. Because this word that we're talking about here, this Bible, this good book thing, the good book, the man upstairs, the good book, this is about salvation. It's really all about deliverance. It's all about being set free. It's all about, well, don't take us wrong. It's all about what a mess you are in and you are and how God wants to get you out of that mess. It really is about that. It's all about how helpless you and I are without Him and how that you're not really without Him. If you call on Him. Amen? It's you need Him, see, and He's offered Himself. He's there. He loves you. He cares about you. But He's wanting you to come. You got to come. That's the great clarion call of the Bible. You know, New Testament covenant. Jesus Himself said it, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You got to get to Jesus. You got to get to Him, see. That's the message, and He is reachable, and He is attainable. All through the Scripture we find that He can be touched. He can be gotten a hold of and grabbed a hold of. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we see case after case of people who went through insurmountable odds to catch a hold of, grab a hold of, and touch Jesus, and yet they did. They touched Him. They cried out in ditches, and people told them to be quiet, and they just cried out the louder, and Jesus heard them and said, come on. They couldn't get in houses that he was at, and they took the roof off to get to him, and they did take the roof off, and they did get to Jesus. People were sick and ill, and there was crowds around Jesus, and they pressed in behind him and grabbed a hold of his garment. He's reachable. He's touchable. You can do it. If you'll call on him, he'll answer you. If you will push in and press in, you can touch God. Hallelujah. This good God, this God that loves you, you can be saved. You can be delivered. Hallelujah. You can be forgiven. He came to save you from your sins. I love that. In fact, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Matthew tells us, first chapter, the angel told Joseph, says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. I think it's the 21st verse. He said, for he shall save his people from their sins. I always thought that was so significant because we think of the penalty of sin, which is good enough. We're being saved from hell. Hallelujah, somebody. I'm not going to go to hell. But see, he didn't say that. He said, I'm going to save you from your sins. Not just from the penalty of them, but from them. So you don't have to keep sinning. From the power of the sin that holds you, see. He wants to save you from that. Not just from the penalty, but from it. From the hate and the bitterness and addictions and on and on and on and on. We could just list and list. You don't have to live that way anymore. Got good news. I'm not ashamed to tell you, you can be set free. You can be saved from your sins. Oh, hallelujah. Because this word, this Bible, this gospel, this good news is the good news of our salvation. Salvation has come. Hallelujah. It has come. And it came in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Y'all found Ephesians? Ephesians, notice what it says in Ephesians, first chapter. I'm reading out of, actually I'm reading out of the New King James Version on my iPad. Okay, so. Just want to throw that out. It's really, I'm just kind of bragging about having wish you had one, huh? Okay. You can be saved from a paper Bible. You can be saved, and you can be delivered to an iPad. You can. Okay. Stay with me. Okay. It says Ephesians 1:13. I love this. It says, in him you also trusted. How many of you have trusted in Jesus? I know I did. I trusted in him back in 1975. Hallelujah. Accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Never been the same since. It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Everybody say after. It's hard to trust him if you hadn't heard, right? The word of truth. See how important the Bible is. If you hadn't heard what the Bible says, you couldn't have trusted. I don't care if you read a tract or you watched a TV show or a neighbor witnessed to you or you're in a service or whatever happened. Somebody had to share the word of God with you because that's what we trust. We don't trust anything. We don't trust just whatever. We trust specifically what God says about Jesus. Christianity is not a subjective faith. You know, taste buds, they're subjective. You know, some people like banana pudding, some people don't. One of the great mysteries of life, I don't know why people don't like banana pudding. But I'm sure when I get to heaven, that paradox will be, explained to me. But the thing, that's a subjective thing. Listen to music. Does everybody like the same kind of music? No, that's subject to you. That's subject to you. But now, being saved, going to heaven's not subjective. We have an object of belief. It's objective. And the object is Jesus Christ, as revealed through the Scripture, through His Word. His Word is the object of our faith. Amen? So this is the Word of our salvation, the good news. Amen? And he says you trusted after you heard it because that's the objective faith that, well, you believe this, I believe that. It doesn't matter what anybody believes as long as we believe. Oh, no. It does matter what you believe because what we believe is paramount. I mean, some people believe all kinds of weird things. It doesn't make it true. That chair you're sitting in, you could believe that was a rabbit. It doesn't make it a rabbit. So what you believe doesn't make a difference to something that's real. A chair is a chair. Whether you believe it or whether you don't believe it's a chair, it's still a chair. And your faith doesn't change that. Your faith benefits from it. Because if you believe it's a chair, you'll sit in it. And that's awful nice if you've been standing all day. So you can benefit from a chair. But if you didn't believe it was a chair, you'd never go over and sit in it. And you're left standing in the cold. Hello. Now God is, whether you believe or don't believe, it doesn't matter whether you believe or not, God exists. And God loves you whether you believe or whether you don't believe, and He wants to save you whether you believe or you don't believe. But when you believe, you take advantage of God, what He's offered. Amen? And you benefit from faith. See what faith does? Faith just benefits from what is. Faith benefits nothing, does not benefit from what is not. Faith only benefits from what is. You can believe anything you want to, but if it's not true, it won't help you. All through the Bible we see nation after nation that believed in other gods didn't help them. And that's what, you know, that was why it was always so amazing to me, is you'd see even the Israelites would defeat a nation. They would defeat the nation, and then they would take all their gods, and they'd go worship their gods. And I'm thinking, they just defeated that nation. Their gods didn't help them. So why would they want to worship the gods of the nation they just defeated? Have you ever seen Outlaw Joseph Wells? I think it was Outlaw Joseph Wells. One of those Clint Eastwood westerns, I don't know. But this guy had shot this guy or something. I think it was one of those movies. I've seen so many westerns, I don't remember. He shot this guy or something. He looked over and he said, "Oh, he's got a rabbit's foot. I'm going to get those. Those things are lucky." I thought he just killed a guy. It didn't help him, did it? That's kind of the same way. You know, they were, you know. It didn't help them, but went ahead and took their idols anyway and worshipped them, and like, oh, man, just crazy stuff. Because it doesn't matter what you believe. If what you believe is not the truth, it's not going to help you. So what do we believe? We're Christians, we believe, right? We believe the Bible. We believe this gospel, this good news right here, hallelujah. And after we hear it, we believe it. And he says here in Ephesians 1:13, "In him you also trusted after you heard the truth," the word of truth, "the gospel of our salvation." This is the good news of our salvation. That's what this is. What is this stuff all about? It's about our salvation. It's about our deliverance. It's about getting some help, hallelujah, and getting some healing and getting some hope, hallelujah. It's about us getting set free. It is the gospel, or the good news of our salvation. Man, I love it. That's why I read the Bible. That's why I love preaching and teaching it. That's why I love standing on it. That's why I love digging into it and finding all these great and precious promises, because it's all about my deliverance. It's all about my salvation. It's all about God's love for me and how He cares for me and how He's on my side, not against me, but for me. It's all about how really the real delusion is the world. The real illusion is the world and all the things that the world seeks after and looks to, and all the fame and all the celebrity and popularity that goes on in life. That all is a dream, a nightmare, and none of that stuff really works. But God's Word does work. It does pay to love people. It does pay to pray for people. It does pay to live holy. It does pay to do what God says, to forgive. Are you with me? This will save us, hallelujah. It will deliver us, this Word, hallelujah. It is the gospel of our salvation. "In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Woo! God made it good. Amen? And He always makes His promises good. Turn to Romans 10. Oh, wow. Y'all taking up way too much of my time. Romans 10. I'm going to read several verses in context in Romans 10 just to put all this together and bring it all together. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we have God's Word? You know, aren't you glad you're not left to my ideology or, you know, ideology or to my intellect? Or thank God you're not left at the mercy of my intellect. Thank God you're not left at the mercy of your intellect. Thank God didn't leave any of us at the mercy of our intellect. He gave us His Word so we'd have a common ground, a common bond, and a common truth, and a common page that we'd all be on. You might have had a dream. You might have had a vision. It might be from God. Might not be from God. I don't know. You know, you might think that God said something, and you might be wrong. I don't know. I often say, you know, you might have had a dream. You might have had too much pizza. I don't know. Might be God or it might not be. But I do know this. We can go to God's Word. We can find out whether your dream's right and whether your vision's right and whether what you think about God's right or whether I think about God's right. There is some commonality here that we can go to. It is God's Word. Hallelujah. Whether we're Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or Catholic or whatever, we have God's Word to kind of straighten these things out. You may think, well, there's so many different churches. Well, you know, there are a lot of different churches, but we all agree that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. I don't care what church you go to. If it's a church, if it's a Christian church, okay, that believes in a general way the Bible, generally they believe the Bible. They believe that God visited us 2,000 years ago and became a man, that little babe in that manger was the master in the manger, that was the creator in the crib, hallelujah, and that he lived a perfect sinless life and he died on the cross and rose again and he conquered hell, death, and the grave. And I don't know of a church that doesn't believe that. I don't care whether that's Church of Christ, Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Pentecostal, Catholic, Christian church, Christian circle, we all believe there's only one way to go to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ, that he is the only way, he is the truth, he is the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. We all believe that. Are you with me? We may worship in different ways. Our church services may be quite a bit different. I know we're different. You know, we actually enjoy going to church here. Kind of different. Actually walk out better than we walked in. That's really neat, isn't it? We walk out encouraged, walk out up, walk out excited. Can't wait to get back to church. Hallelujah. Glenn and I were just talking about this the other day. You know how some people, they come back and all they do is talk about everything that went wrong at church. And then they get up and they go back again. And gripe again and go back the next week. And I'm thinking, you know, and we were talking about why do people even go to church if they just don't like it, they can't stand it, they don't get any help there. It makes them worse. And boy, here they go again Sunday morning. Go back in there. Go fight again. Well, church ought to be a place where you get help and healing, you get hope and you get encouraged, you get instructions. You get under the presence of God. You fellowship with Christians. You know, I'll be a good place. I'll be a safe haven. Somewhere where you're drawn to God. That you find out that he loves you and you can make it. Hallelujah. But there's hope for you. You got a reason to get up tomorrow morning other than just go to work. Thank God for work. Hallelujah. Church ought to be a great place. Hallelujah. A place where God is. A place where his presence is. Place where hope is, healing is. Good news. Everybody say good news. Good news. Well, Romans 10, verse 8. I'm going to read several verses here because I got to hurry here. I want to get you out around 12. We want to beat the Baptist to Brookshire's. God bless the Baptist. Romans 10, 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you. Word. Everybody say word. Word. Okay. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. I love that. We're not preaching the word of doubt and unbelief. We're preaching the word of faith. You know, people often said derogatorily about our kinds of church. I always get tickled. They say, oh, that's that word of faith bunch. Well, I'm thinking, what are they, the word of doubt bunch? Oh, you go down there, they just preach faith down there. You ought to come over here, we'll teach you how not to believe. Well, everybody teaches faith. I mean, come on, that's what we do. We preach. I hope that when you preach the message, wherever you go, if you are one, a preacher, and you're listening to this, I hope you're preaching to people so they can believe what you say, not so they doubt what you say. Okay, enough of that. But anyway, this whole thing is the word of faith. This whole thing is about believing what God says. This whole thing is about coming to him and putting your trust and putting your faith in his word so he can help you. Because it is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what this thing's about. It's about being saved. It's about being helped. It's about being delivered. It's about being set free, praise God. And only God can do that. Only God can help you. It goes on and says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We talk about these things. We say these things. We confess these things because that's how we are saved. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we're saved. And then he goes on, 11th verse says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. We won't be ashamed at judgment day. We'll walk right on in, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Because we put our trust in Jesus. No magic word, no password, no hoops to jump through. We've already trusted in the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you with me? And we'll not be ashamed in that day. And he goes on and says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. I like that. He gives us instruction. Call on him. Call on him. For, 13th verse, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be burdened? No. Shall be broke down? No. Shall be saved. It's all about salvation. It's the gospel of our salvation. Now notice what he says in the next couple of verses. I think this is, wow, good stuff. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? Or how shall they call him who they have not believed? Excuse me. And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I love that verse. I don't know why. I just love it. And how shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring... I'm getting a text, excuse me. Quit. Does your Bible do that? Okay. My Bible gets text, okay. Yeah, no. Actually, it wasn't. It was... Okay, now I'm getting embarrassed. All right. He says, how shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Peace, gospel, good news. Gospel, good news of peace. Not hate. Are you with me? Not you're no good. You hate your mama. You hate your papa. You never done a good thing in your life. But God loves you and I love you. God bless your rotten, dirty hearts. It's not what he said. He said the gospel of peace. Amen. God loves you. Hallelujah. He really does. He says, who bring glad tidings of good things. This is what I preach. This is what preachers preach. This is what we're supposed to preach. Oh, there's a hell. Yes, there is. Sin's bad, no doubt about it, and you don't need to do it. And we talk about living holy. But I tell you what, we bring you glad tidings. I bring you glad tidings of good things, of great joy, which is to all people and all men. Jesus has died for your sins, and he rose again that you might go to heaven and miss hell, that you can overcome your sin, hallelujah, that you can live holy and live right, and you can love God, and you can love your wife, and you can love your husband, and you can love your kids, and you can change your destiny, and you can come out of the mess you're in, and you can take that mess of your life and make a message out of it, hallelujah. Aren't you glad? They have not all obeyed the gospel, it says, 16th verse, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There it is again. All comes full circle. Without the Bible, you don't have salvation because this is the gospel of our salvation. Without the Bible, you never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. You never heard of him, see? And think of this in a reverse order. He starts out with the person getting saved from believing, from hearing, from the preacher being sent. But if you flip it back around, it starts like this. God sends a preacher. Now, that doesn't mean a pastor necessarily. It could be just someone to tell you about the Lord. All of us are preachers. Not all of us are pastors. But everybody's a preacher. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Now, he says preacher. That's everybody. Every one of us are preachers. So that's where it starts. You say, well, nobody told me about the Lord. Well, yeah, somebody did. You heard it somewhere. You read it. You saw it on TV. You listened on the radio. Somewhere, your mama told you. Somebody told you about Jesus. Because you didn't come up with that all by yourself. Somebody did, okay? And ultimately, you go all the way back to Jesus started the whole thing, and then the apostles wrote it down in these books we have. Somebody preached. Are you with me? So God sends a preacher. And a preacher preaches. He doesn't always have to obey. We don't have to obey. But if we do, we keep the process going. The preacher preaches, and then the listener hears, and the hearer believes. Not every listener believes after they hear. Some do, some don't. But if you believe what you hear, then if you believe, you'll call. Because the believer calls. And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then the Lord saves the one who calls. But it starts with God, he sends, and it ends with God, he saves. And all that in between, a bunch of people. And it's a process. And you gotta meet the conditions. You believing is not the cause of your salvation, it's just a condition. God's the cause. He causes salvation to come. But you have to believe that's a condition. And you're not going to believe if you hadn't heard. And you're not going to hear if you hadn't been around a preacher or somebody knows the Lord. Are you with me? And you're not going to call if you don't believe. Are you out there? How many of you are saved? Because you called, right? Why'd you call? Because you believed, right? Why'd you believe? Because you heard. What'd you hear? Heard the word. From who? Somebody, a preacher, somebody, or some Christian that shared it with you. If you stop that process anywhere, you stop the blessing of God. You stop the salvation that's in the gospel. And it may be not just eternal life. It might be peace. It might be some other thing that he offers. See, we need to get under the sound of it, because if we don't hear it, we're not going to believe it. So then faith comes by hearing, not just hearing only, but by hearing by the word of God. You've heard a lot of things in your life. Have you heard what God says? Hearing what God says will bring salvation to your house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God sends and God saves. He starts the process and he finishes the process. The preaching, the hearing, the believing, and the calling is what we do. These are the conditions of our salvation. Not the cause. God's the cause. Because we're not saved by any work we do. But there are conditions to meet. Amen. Hallelujah. Did that help anybody today?